activity.
Until the Hanukkah Masech,
we begin the Masechet Kritut. Basically, what we're dealing with over here is the equivalent of the Rambam's Hilchot Shigagot, in which we're going to define which action is mechayev which korban. So at the end of the part of Kachim that comes to define the dinim of the korbanos, we now come to speak about the act which causes the chiyuv of the korban. Of course, there are major differences in types of korbanot. As we know, the main korban that we deal with in terms of chet, as opposed to the various kavuazman or matanot or nedarim nedavot, are the korbanot chatat. And the first Mishnah here tells us the 36 things which are mechayev kritut, and that's because the only time that you're chayev a chatat is on something which you're chayev karet on, if you would have done it b'mezid. And the truth is that the structure of the 36 is a little bit open to variation, because there's some things that include more than one thing. And the Gemara is going to discuss why we count them only as one thing, because they come from one pasuk, therefore they wouldn't be mechayev separate lavim. But as we'll see in the Gemara, the main point of listing the numbers over here are in order to let us know how many separate chataot you could be chayev. And it's important to establish right on, which the Gemara will do, that a korban chatas is not generic. In other words, you don't say a person who is chayev karet for whatever reasons or however many reasons would bring a korban, and that korban addresses the karet. It's not true. The korban addresses the chet very specifically. And therefore, by listing 36, it's coming to tell us that you could actually be chayev 36 separate chiyuv echatat, even though what was done might have been done beha'alem echad. In other words, you might have been engaged in a lot of these isurim without realizing in between that you had done a particular chet. Now, obviously, there's no connection between some of them. In other words, you know, chilul Shabbat or Ba'al Ha'erva are very, very different things. We could certainly have a case where somebody was... by the way, there's a question overall before we get to that. What shogeg consists of to bring a chatat? It would be easy to constitute a case of shogeg where a person simply never learned the halachot. No, so we had no idea that there was such a thing, and therefore there would be 36, it would truly be the Halei Mechad, it could be a Tinok Shinich Bavin Umot Olam, and so on and so forth. However, the problem is that many hold that Omer Mutar, that ignorance of the law, indeed is not considered to be a Shogeg. You're not Chayev HaChatat, and that's Rashi among them, and you're closer to an Ones, because you simply weren't aware. In which case, we're going to have to figure out how you could have done these Averot Beha'alim Echad, or even some of them seem a little bit far-fetched that there should be bishogeg, if the shogeg does not include not knowing it was asur. But we'll talk about all of those. I was afraid, just in case, I hope we're going to meet after the shiur anyway, just in case not. So it says the Mishnah, Shloshim v'sheish kritut ba'Torah, we have 36 separate instances where the Torah says v'nichrata. By the way, the Ramban points out that there's different types of v'nichrata. You sometimes have v'nichrata ha-nefesh ha-hi, or you sometimes have ha-ishahu, or you sometimes have mi'ameha. And each one of these is different according to Ramban. The ish element is different than the nefesh element. So there could be a karet that has to do with shortening one's life. Again, only if he doesn't do teshuva. There can be a karet that has to do with the nefesh, the v'nichrata nefesh. There could be that which affects a person overall, on both. Rashi learns that the karet in general is a question of dying without children. The Rival points out that that's only where the Torah specifically mentions ariri. If it doesn't say that he shall die without children, why would the karet have anything to do with aririm yomutu, for instance, it says? And then we know, we saw the Rambam in Hilchot Teshuvah that relates karet in general to the fact that a person has no netzach, has no permanence in his soul, and basically dies like an animal. But the Gra points out that there are very many different elements. And of course, in the Rambam also, because the Rambam lists separately those she'en lahem chelek l'olam haba, and separately the issue of karet, if it would be true that karet is literal loss of an afterlife, then it would be automatically in lo chelek l'olam haba. The Gra points out that there are various levels to what we call the nefesh, and various levels of aspects that we have a concept of Gan Eden, we have a concept of Olam Haba, we have the interrelationship of a particular nefesh with the Israel as a whole, and that's why it stresses sometimes Meha Meha, and each one of these things needs to be addressed separately and carefully and not just thrown about. But as far as the Mishnah is concerned, all that's important is that every place that we find the lashon of a nichrat or abona nisa, which we'll learn out in the Gemara, those are cases that are mechayev you a korban chatat in the case if you do something b'shogeg, and that is why we address it over here. We're not addressing the theory like we do in Sanhedrin, Kol Yisrael Yishlo Tevet L'Olam Haba, and so on, etc., etc., etc. That's not the point of the Mishnah, and so the relevance of what exactly karet is and so on has nothing to do with our Gemara. Gemara's not even interested, really, in that issue. Shloshim v'shesh kritut b'Torah. Therefore, we have 36 kritut. Haba al ha'im, v'al eshet av, v'al hakama. On the surface, the structure of the Mishnah seems to be rather strange. Many, many of these surei karet have to do with the arayot. And why that's true is, the Rambam says in the Mor Nevuchim it's true because people really are driven very much to sexual issues, and therefore the Torah is very mocked, because if you don't make a big deal about it, then people certainly will figure out a way not to make a big deal about it, obviously. And the Rambam says, it's certainly true as far as it goes, but that there are elements of sod b'tzirut ha-nefesh, the whole description of evolution is an escape from one's own basic genetic inheritance to mix the gene pool as part of the Yitzira, the whole Seder HaYitzira, and therefore the Torah is very marked on it. But whatever the reason is, the first part of the Mishnah concentrates only on sexual issues. And the question is, the order is a little bit strange until we take into consideration what the Gemara in Sanhedrin points out, that really the structure of the Mishnah is based on the Chumrah in terms of the Chiyuv Mitah, which is not even mentioned over here. Some of the arayot are also a chiyuv mitan. There's different levels of chiyuv mitan. So we go from skila, we list all of the niskalim, and then we go to sreifa, then we go to chenek, and then we go to just the malkut and the ones that act correct. That accounts for the weird way that the mission is structured. So we put together with sleeping with one's mother, or an eshet ta'av, or a daughter-in-law, la kala. Or, strangely, we switch to a zachor and a behima, which certainly doesn't seem to belong here, except that those are also yisurei skila. So a zachor, or a behima, or isha hamibia behima aleha, and those are skilot. Habal isha ubita. Now, habal isha ubita is a yisureifa, but actually includes quite a few different yisurim, because it would include both directions, first of all. Remember that Abali Shaobita does not mean somebody takes two women to bed simultaneously, one is a mother and one is a daughter. It means that he's married to one and then takes the other. So it's a reference either to his mother-in-law, it would have to be actually after a marriage, or vice versa, married one then sleeping with her daughter. And there the question, since it says the bat of the bat, it would also mean the both directions, so the aim of the aim would be the same thing. Furthermore, we mean bat binah, so it could be granddaughter of that woman. So this includes quite a few different cases, but it's all within the same pasuk and listed here as one. That those are the nisrafim. Then we have the eshet ish, which is the chenek, and then we have abaal, including abaal achoto, alachot aviv, one's own sister, one's father's sister, one's mother's sister, v'alachot ishto, and the sister of one's wife, al eshet achiv, his sister-in-law, al eshet achi aviv, his auntie through marriage, and al hanidah. And all of those are yisurei malkut. Then we switch out of the list of arayot into avodat kochavim, which is the next in chumrah, which is the migadev. Migadev is someone who is mikalel the shame, using the shame. The Oved Avodat Kochavim, which can be done in many different ways. So you could be Oved Avodat Kochavim Kiddarka. So a particular Avodat Kochavim is worshipped in some strange way. Let's say you have Merkulis where you throw rocks at it. Doesn't seem to be a proper worship, but nonetheless, that's worship. You have Four where you bare your rear end, or worse. certainly doesn't seem very worshipful, but that's the way in which it's worshipped, and there, that would be the chiyuv. But then you have the four things you could do, the any avodah zarah, which is the yishtachavoya, and the nisuch, and kitur, and so on. So those would apply across the board, and therefore there's many different ways, but they're all included in the overall chiyuv of karet of avodah zarah. V'hanotein mizaro la'molech, which is, there's even a machlokas whether molech is actually an avodah zarah in the literal sense. But the noten mizaro la'molech, of course, doesn't mean murdering one's child, but you pass a child through the fires to indicate symbolically that the child belongs to the molech. And then you have a ba'al ov, where we have very conspicuously missing over here the yidoni. The two are very similar, and that they have to do with all types of predicting the future by using either the skull of a mate in the balov or the yidoni, the bone of a bird, and allowing these things to speak or to speak through your mouth. And the Gemara is going to discuss why the two are not mentioned, why I only mentioned balov. Mechalel Shabbat, those are all the Avodah Zarah issues. The Mechalel Shabbat, you know, that's the similar to Avodat Kochavim, called Mechalel Shabbat. And then we have the specific Isurim that have to do with the Isser, either Migdash or Achila, or Achila in the Migdash. We begin with Tameh Sha'achal Takodesh, or Abal Migdash Tameh. Then we have Isurei Achila that are Mechayev, such as Ochel Chelev, Dam, or Noser. Noser is where you had things that were left over, depending on what type of carbon it is. You either have to eat it within the space of that day, that whatever's left of the day that the carbon is born the following night. Or sometimes you have a day, a night in between, and the next day to eat it. And then it becomes notar after that time, and eating it is mechayev karet, which we learn actually out from Mehakeshim. It doesn't say directly with the nichrita on it. Pigol is an interesting twist on the idea of notar, because what pigol is where you don't actually leave over the meat, but where at the time of doing the Avodah, the Beit HaMikdash, you did the Shechita, you did the Zerika, and so on. You thought to eat the meat at the wrong time, in the next day. Or you thought to bring the Korban at the next day, outside of its time. There, the Torah answers the Achila as if it were already Notar, so to speak. So you're Chayav Karet on Pigul, separately from Notar. V'ashochet or Hama'aleh, those are two separate things. If you do Shechita of Kochim, that were ruim to come to the Beit HaMikdash, in other words, they have to be Kochim Mizbeach, and they have to be in a position where they could be brought on the Mizbeach. If you do that outside of the Beit HaMikdash, or you're Ma'aleh backwards, you bring up the Korban, even though you do the Shechita outside, you would be separately Chayav Karet on either of those. Ochel Chametz B'Pesach, or someone who either eats ochel or oseh melacha on Yom HaKippurim, someone who is mefatem v'shemen ha-mishcha, he copies the ingredients and makes the shemen ha-mishcha in the way that it was made in the Beit HaMikdash, because it says vat kuntolo tasu kamohu, and it says hasher yakach kamo v'nichreta nefesh ayi. So on the actual pitum itself, the mixing, there would be a chiyuv. And the other case would be someone who makes the ktoret in order to smell the ktoret. So in that case, the mifatem itself is a chiyuv karet. V'asach b'shemen ha-mishka, someone who puts the shemen ha-mishka on himself or on something that is holy. And then there's two additional cases of karet that are different than all the above, and that's someone who doesn't bring a korban pesach, and someone who is never nimol. Those are mitzvot aseh. Since they're mitzvot aseh, we'll see you can't be mechayev chatat on a mitzvot aseh. And that's why we have to mention that they're not really the same as the other 34 examples. Al elu chayavin azdono karet va'al shkirto chatat. So on the above, you would be chayev if you did it on bizodon, but without hatra'ah, so we can avoid the complexities of the chiyuv mavet. There's a chiyuv of karet. And where you was a shogeg, and again, if you learn that a shogeg includes ignorance of the law, then it's easy to understand all these cases. It's hard to understand without ignorance of the law what cases would be of shogeg if somebody who sleeps with an animal or sleeps with his mother or so on. In all of these cases, we'll have to assume that basically someone is pretty much asleep, half asleep. The room is dark, and he's got all his family members sleeping in the same bed, and he sleeps with the wrong one. You know, and I mean, that's not that difficult to imagine, but sleeping with an animal, that's a little bit hard to imagine. And, okay, I mean, yeah, assuming that this person basically was into anal intercourse and wouldn't know the difference between his wife and an animal anyway, we'd have to say it's something like that as well. I mean, that's the only way to understand the case.
How did he grow?
Even, pardon me? Well, then the question is whether he's aware enough to be chayav. I mean, there's levels of drunkenness that the Gemara discusses elsewhere. Yigiel shechutor shalot becomes the example of non-responsibility to one's actions.
I've heard it said that. Rabbi Yehuda Chassid said one of the reasons he said that you're not supposed to marry a woman the same name as your mother is because of the chashash of something happening like what Rabbi Yehuda mentioned.
So you call her by her name, and she says, "Yes, dear, and it's your mother."
Yeah, of course, absolutely.
I'm saying, but our standards is a little bit strange. But when you had an entire family basically sleeping on the same, you know, bed or floor, and all within one room, it's not difficult to imagine the cases. So in all of the above, you would be chayav b'shogeg chatas va'alo hodah shelehem, where you're not certain what you did. So in other words, you didn't even realize your mother was in the bed, you know, and you're not quite certain whether it was your mother or your wife. So in that case, you would bring an asham toloi. The classic case, of course, is where you have two pieces. You have a chaleb and shuman. There's no real way to know the difference. When you find out afterwards one of those pieces was chaleb, you don't know which one you ate. So there you would have a chiyuv of an asham toloi. It's called asham toloi because it's basically toloi v'omei. It's not that it's a kapara, it's that it staves off any impact of the ra that you may have done until such time as you discover that it was done. At that point, you still have to bring your korban chatat, which is also not just an asham that takes the place of a chatat. Not included, however, in that rule is some of the cases above, like metame migdash u'kedosha. Metame migdash u'kedosha that we spoke about before is not included in this rule. And that's because the chatat that's brought for Metame Mikdash V'Kedoshav is not the normal kisbah or seirah, but rather it's a korban ola v'yoreh, in which someone who's an ani can bring instead the birds, and if he's even poorer, he can bring instead a minchas chatat, the asiri ta'ifa. And on those cases, there is no asham talui that you can bring in the event of doubt as to whether you did it or not. So says Rabbi Meir. The Chachamim say, well, it's not quite all that have to be excluded. The Megadet needs to be excluded from the general rule, because the Megadet achieves his Avera, Kivalat Hashem, through speech. His speech is not an action, and the Torah says, Torah Achat Yelachem La'oseh Bishkagah. Stresses the Asiyah. Yatsa Megadet She'no Oseh Ma'aseh. Therefore, the Megadet is not included in the standard Chatat, nor in the replacement for the standard chatat in a place of doubt, which is the asham talui. Says the Gemara, since we know how to count, and if not, you should not be learning kritut, why do we need the number 36? I mean, yana lamali. Now, obviously, there's a lot of all of these cases, and we mentioned before that there's tamidei chachamim called sofrim because of these counts. And there's always issues on the count that have to do with the general structure of Torah. Everybody points out the profound interrelationships of Shloshim V'Sheish. I mean, Shloshim V'Sheish is such a fundamental issue in the Torah that has to do with survival and unsurvival. You know, extended ideas like Lamed Vav Tzadikim, the 36 hours of the Or HaGanuz, the 36 candles that are given in Hanukkah, connected to the Or HaGanuz. Many, many issues that are similar. Even the Ayeka that was said to Adam HaRishon, Chazal tell us, is the Ayeka that becomes the Eicha, that is the Churban, and why was the Churban done with Eicha? Because they were over on 36, Aleph Yud Kaf Hei, on the 36th Kritut Bavli. So there's issues here. Whenever we ask this question, obviously we mean, besides on the level of whatever esoteric issues are involved, what is the purpose of mentioning in the Mishnah in terms of the simple pshat of the Mishnah? Om Rav Yochanan, it's coming to tell you, Shimasan kulam be'elem echat, chayav akol achat ve'achat. If someone did all of these Yisurim, now it's difficult to do all of these Yisurim, obviously, certainly be'elem echat, difficult to be both a woman who has an animal sleeping with her and a male who sleeps with an animal. That's very difficult to do at one time, and so on and so forth. Or whatever applications. So it's interesting that if you work it out, there are 36 possibilities for either sex. Actually, in other words, you break out the ones that are included in one into more than one. But okay, those are further removed. But the idea over here is that what we're interested in pointing out over here is the number tells you that the relationship of the chatat to the concept of karet is specific to the chet. It's not that there's a concept called karet. I mean, how many times can you get karet? You only kill a guy once, you know. So you might think, okay, so the korban is coming to undo the impact of whatever that is, that karet. By the way, the idea of karet, again, the word has many different levels. The karet is the cutting off of the soul. Does that mean cutting it off from eternity? Cutting it off from its potential? Cutting off the individual from the overall kihilat Yisrael, as it says sometimes, Mi'amar. Does it mean cutting off, as the Bala Kabbalah say, the 36 different pipes that contain the chaos that allows life to continue in terms of spirituality? Each one of them is connected to one of these mitzvot. There's different elements of that karet, but you might think that the bringing of the korban, because it's magical anyway, I mean, it's not that I bring a chatat and I'm addressing somehow Chilul Shabbat, I'm bringing a different chatat, I'm literally addressing sleeping with my mother. I mean, it's like the Torah said, magically, some evil is caused, do this to undo the evil. You could easily think that it's generic. And it's karet is a death, it's a generic thing. Karet is a generic thing. So the korban is a generic thing. It can only happen once. So bring the korban for as many karets as there are. Therefore comes along the Mishnah to tell me, Dafka 36, that you should know that each one is unique, and it's not generic, and you'd be chayav separately on every one. Actually, now that you mention it, beginning of Masecht with 36, there's other things, and we start from the things that are most similar to the issues of karet, that is to say, those things which have to do with the number of korbanot that you could bring. But we're going to expand outwards for the numberings that Mishnayot give, where they seem to be rather easily countable on one's own. Once we ask the question, we'd like to go through other counts that appear. One of the joys of the Masechet Kritut is its variety. There's lots of all kinds of issues here. To deal with all of these different things in one Masechet, because they have nothing to do with each other usually. But when it comes to the question of the Chiyuv Chatat, all of a sudden there's something they share. So you get to discuss all types of wonderful things that you'd never think you'd be doing in one day. So over here we'd like to know, we have the same idea of Shabbat, where it says, Avot melachot arba'im chasar achat. I mean, I know how to count up to 39 on my own. So minyan alamali, why do I need to mention that there are 39 melachot? There too, it comes to teach me the din of the korban chatat. So you certainly think that the idea of a chatat on Chilul Shabbat is generic. You were Mechalel Shabbat. What's the difference if one is Mechalel Shabbat through being Borer or one is Mechalel Shabbat through being Dash? It's basically the same idea. It's almost the same action. Comes along the Mishnah to say, each one of these is unique. But there can be times when the Chilul Shabbat is not a generic Chilul Shabbat. The truth is that there is such a thing as a generic Chilul Shabbat, as we'll see, which is where the shogeg was, that you forgot it was Shabbat. And there, the shogeg is the day, rather than the act. But if the shogeg was on the particular act, you knew it was Shabbat, but you didn't know this was prohibited. You also didn't know that was prohibited. Then each one becomes a separate for you. But these are details that will be explained later on in the sugya. But meanwhile, we have a similar thing. So the 36 and the 39 are both coming to tell me numbers of possible korbanot. Okay, what about later on in this Masechet, when we talk about the korbanot of mechusrei kapara? So it says over there are four cases of mechusrei kapara. Mechusrei kapara mean somebody who wasn't involved in doing anything wrong, but where the state of tumah prevents this person from eating kodashim until he brings a required korban for a general kapara on the nature of tumah, it's still called kapara, why do I need to list four if I could certainly read the Mishnah and see that there are four cases? Ah, that actually is lafuk in Rebbe Eliezer ben Yaakov. Rebbe Eliezer ben Yaakov adds a fifth case. It's a very interesting fifth case. He says, Chamishahavi, the Tanya Rebbe Eliezer ben Yaakov Omer, any ger is called mechusar kapara. Because we find that the Jews themselves required at Har Sinai korbanot that were brought to them, and zrikat dam that was done by Moshe Rabbeinu, zorakat hadam. So maybe that's true of every ger, and until such time as he's nichnas completely, including, thank you very much, including, I don't know, I mean, you're stealing it from the president. Thank you. Actually, it's a covenant for the president that he doesn't have to be matriarch for somebody like me. It's very important. Until we would be zerek the dam on the ger. So, in essence, he's added a fifth case of a chusrei kapara. The very fact that we call it a mechusar kapara is itself a limud. That's how we're looking at it. Certainly, the sense of making it four as opposed to five focuses us on this question and forces us to recognize that the Stam Mishnah is coming to tell us not to follow the ruling of Rebbe Eliezer ben Yaakov, and that a ger requires tefillah, yes, milah, yes, but zrikat damim, although there may be an inyan of zrikat damim, and in the end he does require a korban, discourage that. He does require a korban, but he certainly is not called a mechusar kapara. Ahochitana arba. Okay. How about the following case, which is also a din in korbanot? You notice we, again, as I mentioned before, we go from the thing most similar to our Mishnah, and we expand outwards. So our Mishnah directly to Shabbat, where there was a din of chatat, then to mechusrei kapara, which is a completely different sense of chatat, it's danat chet, and then to the following Mishnah, which also we're going to see, arba meviim al hazadon kishkaga. There's four cases where you bring a korban on doing something b'mezid in exactly the same way that you would do if you did it b'shogeg. Again, there's four cases. Why do I need to count? Ah, that's lafuke min Rebbe Shimon. That's to make sure that I recognize that the Mishnah is telling me not to follow the ruling of Rabbi Shimon, the Tanya Rabbi Shimon Omer, as opposed to the Tanakama, Shibuata Pikadon, Lonitans Donala Kapara, Ahokitona Arba'a. Since, according to Rabbi Shimon, one of the four cases that we listed in the Mishnah, which is someone who swears, knowing full well that he has someone else's Pikadon, and pretends he doesn't have it, denies that he has something that belongs to another person in his possession, that, if it's done purposefully, according to Rabbi Shimon, is not mechayev a korban. And so, in order to make it clear that it is, it says arba'a. Okay, what about the case, and again, this is still korbanot, what about the case that's not chamisha mevi'im korban echad al averot harveh? There's five cases where you can bring one korban despite the fact that you did the same avera many different times, even though you knew about it. Minyan olamali, why do I need to list five cases? I'll tell you why. Because the case that we have at the end of that Mishnah is the case of a nazir. The nazir, it says over there, im nitma tumot arbe, that if he goes and he's batame himself time and time again, that he would bring the same single korban for all of those times. Now, the problem is, if he was never tahor in between, then he wasn't batame himself again and again. And if he was tahor in between, why wouldn't he be chayev again and again? The case that we have over there is, interestingly, where someone was tame on his seventh day, in other words, between somebody becomes tummy as a nazir, requires 7 days in order to become tahar. It's only tumat meit that a nazir is chayivar. On the eighth day, he brings korbanot and restarts his nazirut. Let's start over again from the beginning. Now, the question is, while he's in the state of this tumah, he doesn't have a chiyuv for yet another act of tumah. That's not what it's talking about over here when you do Averot Harbei, because over there that's not part of the Yisur. He's already Tamei and when does it see it? The question revolves around when does he restart his Nezirut? If he restarts his Nezirut on the seventh day, because and it says that basically. It says that he should cut his hair and now Kidei should Rosh Nizro. He should start a Nezirut. It's not clear whether that restarting is after he brings the Karbanot, which can only bring on the eighth day. Because he cannot be a Tfuah Yom. Does it Yom HaShemini? Now he brings his Karbanot. Does he have to wait till the eighth day to restart or the seventh day to restart? So the case where we say that he could be Nitma to Motar Bay and yet get away with bringing one Karban on everything that he did was a case where he became Tomei on the seventh day. And then again he became Tomei on his next seventh day, and so on. Now that would only be meaningful according to Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda is the one who says Nizirut Tahara means Shvi Yudachayalala. That the new Nizirut begins on the seventh day, not on the eighth day, and that's the Kidesh at Rosh Nizro. And in order to make that clear, because it can't be going like Rabbi, I know what you're going to think. You're going to say, well, why can't it be going like Rabbi too? Because Itamar Rabbi. According to Rabbi, Kiva de Nizut Tara at Shmini Lo Chayal Alev, he cannot restart his Nizrut until the eighth day. Heichi Mashkachat, explain to me what the case is where he would be potter from one carbon, where it's a Kiddush to say one carbon potter is more than one case that was Machayev a carbon. Eden Itva Bishviyi is talking about where he was coming on the seventh day. And then again, that's all one long tumah. That's not separate chiyuvim of a karma. If he was tummy on the eighth day, when he'd already started the next nizirut, well, for heaven's sakes, even the—I mean, over there, even the yatsa b'shar ruyal aviva korban. Once he was already capable of bringing his new karban on the eighth day, then how in the world would he be able to bring one karban on more than one event, since the next event took place after he already essentially was kavua in the need to bring the korban for the first event? You can't now add ex post facto new events to a korban that you already chayav. So that wouldn't be true. He would be chayav akol achat v'achat. In order to stress this, we stress that the chamisha to tell me that it's Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda. By the way, what is this machlokas? My Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda? Well, just to remind you, the Tanya, V'kidesh et Rosho, Bayom Hahu. What's the Bayom Hahu referring to? Bayom Hava'at Korbanotav, Divrei Rebbe. Well, of course, it means after you complete the full cycle that the Torah defined, which is the eighth day, the day that you could bring your Korbanot. Whereas Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda, no, it means Bayom Tiglakto. Since the idea over here is V'kidesh et Rosho, start over again to treat your hair as if it's Kodesh, that means after you shaved your head. It's starting to regrow. That's done on the seventh day. Now treat that hair as if it is holy.
The reason for the Yosef Rabbi Yehuda, you don't have one crow is because
you haven't yet been able to bring your carbon, and therefore once the eighth day dawns, it finds you in a position of requiring a carbon for more than one reason. So fine, you can include all those reasons in one carbon.
Well, the same reason,
it's just that those are... Well, it's different tumot that are meaningful, but all are coming for the same posse.
If he was mutame with him on the sixth day, the first day, what happens?
No, then it's nothing. Then he's not chayav even, because he still hasn't been yotze, his chiyuvim getting out of the tumah. After his seventh day, he becomes a mechusar, he's basically now a tfu yom or mechusar kippurim. Yes, absolutely. Sure. He has to go through the tire over again. Yeah.
When he finally has the eighth day, then it's one quarter
right. That's right. How about the mission that says that there are five cases, Chamisha Mevim Korban Olavi Oreid? Like we're still in the Korbanot, I mean, we're out of the regular Katot here. Five people would bring a Korban Olavi Oreid. Minyana Lomali. Why do we have to say five? I can count that. Because, I'll tell you why. At the end of that Mishnah, it says, Nasi Kayotse Behem. That a Nasi is the same as the above. Now, the above is a reference to the Beit Din. It says that the Beit Din does not bring a Korban Olavi Yorid, and that's because you cannot have a situation where we would call a Beit Din an Oni, who can't afford to bring a Korban.
That's the tzibur as a whole. They're not given this entire idea of ole v'yored. So the Mishnah continues to say, the same thing is true of a nasi. A nasi essentially is a public person that we cannot call an ani. Whereas Rebbe Eliezer Omer, that's Lafukim in Rebbe Eliezer. Rebbe Eliezer Omer, nasi may be sa'ir. That actually, it's not that he's not included in the chiyuv at all. It's just that he always brings a sa'ir nasi. There's actually a three-way machlokas. Is it that you don't bring an olav yored and therefore you're patur? Or is it that you don't bring the olav yored and therefore you're chayav but katat kvu'ah? Or is that you're included in olav yored? The two. Okay, what about the Mishnah? Here we're out of the range of Karbanot, but we're expanding into the overall question, why do we count something where people could easily count it themselves? Titzan arba avot nizikin. I mean, why do we have to count four avot nizikin? Minyan alamali. Oh, well, that's to tell me that there is a way of structuring the avot that is different from Rabbi Yoshia's approach, who lists 13 avot nizikin. Therefore, the Mishnah wants to say, no, we don't include those as avot. And according to Rabbi Yoshia, why would it say that? I mean, certainly he says, it's not that the Mishnah is arguing, it's giving another structure. Ah, because the Mishnah wants to tell me that Rabbi Chiya's approach is wrong. Rabbi Chiya says there's 24 avot nizikin. How about according to Rabbi Chiya? Rabbi Chiya minyan alamali. Says Rabbi Chiya, because there's two cases I didn't include, and the Mishnah comes to exclude. And that's the case of the Misor, somebody who gives over property of Jews to the government by squealing on them to the IRS and things like that, or the Mifagel. Both of these cases are basically things that are done in a way that are not directly noticeable in the thing. Somebody's Mifagel, he's a Kohen, and he does a pigle, and he says, I'm going to eat this carbon at the wrong time. He just cost this guy $400 for a new cow. That's terrible. But it's not recognizable. I mean, I don't see anything. It's called Ezek Sheino Nikar. Ezek Sheino Nikar, you should know, is not included. So to anything that's caused by Dibur B'Alma, the Dibur, I don't see an act of Ezek, and therefore, Rabbi Chiya says, it's not included. Now, there may be Richie, darling. There may be that the Rabbanan, perhaps, were Machayev, he was a Kanas, or whatever, but it's certainly not an Avam Nizikin. Okay, getting back to our mission. You said the reason that we need 36 is to teach me Amar Mar, Shimasa Ankulam Be'elem Echad, Chayav Al Kol Akat V'Yachad. Now, let me get this straight. Bishlema Potter Legamre Lomomatzit Amret. I mean, I understand you can't say that basically there's no Chiyav at all. It says, Kol Asher Yaseh Mi Kol HaToevot Eilu V'Nichritu. In other words, I understand that we don't need to say that you're Chayev only if you did all 36 cases. Because it says, Mi Kol. So I know if you did some of these cases, you would be Chayev. That I understand. But what I'd like to know is, maybe if you do more than one, you're still only Chayev one. I mean, you're taking it to the other extreme. In other words, one extreme is to say you're chayev karet when you do all of the above avirot. Right. That I know isn't true because it says mikol out of the list. The other approach is to say you're chayev one korban for as many of these karets as you do, because karet is basically generic and the korban is a generic remedy to karet. The approach that you're taking is that each and every one is chayev a separate karet. So I understand that one extreme is not included, mikol asher yaseh, mikol v'nichritu. But why not say, ema abar chada nitchayev chada, you were over on one, you're chayev one, and if you were over all of them, behelem echad, and never really found out that you were chayev a chiyev of korban, so maybe you know chayev alakha, maybe you'd only be chayev one for as many as you did.
It's one issue. I dealt with this issue, it's all.
Yeah, it's one karet. I bring a carbon on karet. Omer Rabbi Yochanan, I'll tell you why. Because if you notice, there's a very strange pasuk. The Torah goes through all of the arayot and then says, that anybody who did any of these arayot, mikolatoy boteilu, v'nichretu anefashot ha'osot. That's pretty clear, all of the above cases. And then for some reason, when it talks about achoto, it mentions specifically that there's a thing of karet on achoto for no reason at all that we can discern. So lekach yatsa karet b'achoto. I want to tell you that that's the whole point. The reason that in Kedoshim it mentions v'nichretu le'enei b'nei amam about the case of isha asher yikach et achoto, the bat aviv, the bat imo, and the whole, which we'll see is important as well. The reason that we mentioned karet there is to tell me, look, the Torah singles out one case to make it clear that karet is applicable to one case. Now, that can't be coming to teach me that I don't need to do all of the above, because I already know that from the word mikol. So by telling me it applies to one case, what it's actually telling me is that it applies to one case uniquely, and that each case is therefore unique, which I derive from achoto. Exactly, like esh, lechalek. So therefore, it's coming lechalek to separate each one from the other. Matkila Rabibi Barabayana, why do we make that a rule? Maybe it's only achoto. I mean, in other words, maybe achoto de piretakra, something where the Torah goes out of its way to make it separate. Okay, I understand. If you do, let's say, all of the arayot, maybe you'd be chayav one for achoto and one for the rest. You know, I mean, that one I understand Torah is mentioned specifically. So nechayav Allah, okay, I understand I should be chayav on it and on the rest, but the rest, kulam kivet le'elam echad, lo nechayav elachad. I mean, if I do everything else besides achoto, maybe one will handle it. And what kind of question is that, says the Gemara? You're telling me Rabibi Barabaya never heard the rule of how to darshan a pasuk? Rabibi Barabaya miletle, how did the Tanya? I mean, everybody knows the famous opening to the whole Sifra, which is the discussion of the various rules by which you learn the Torah. One of those rules is called Avash Haya Bichlal, V'yatza min haklal lelamed, lo lelamed al atzmo yatza, ela lelamed al haklal kulo yatza. The rule is that if something was included overall in a klal, this is over here, mikol ha'tarivot halalu, v'elu, which includes also the akotov. Then it's mentioned separately, and it tells us for no reason it needs karet. It's to teach me something about the nature of the klal as a whole. So if I know that I'm chayev separately on achoto, I now know I'm chayev on each and every one of the arayot separately. Ketza, the example that's given in the Sifra, the classic case, is it says about all kochim. Va'nefesh asher tochal basar, there it talks about any of the Kodashim it begins. And then it says, doesn't it say b'feirush el ha-Kodashim? So why does it have to specify now the Shlamim? Lama Yatsu, why then was it mentioned separately?
A person
now eats Kodesh, Batuma. So lama yatsu lakish aleihem, to tell me, just like shlamim are kachim izbeach, and there you're chayav if you eat it betuma, af kol shem kachim izbeach chayavim aleihem. But suppose there would be an animal that belonged to the kachim berek habayit, and you ate it betuma, yatsu kachim berek habayit, that there would be no chiyuv. So I mean, Rabibi Barabaya comes along as if he never heard this. When every schoolboy knows it, when we even read it every morning in the midot before the tefillah, and pretends that he's asking a brilliant question. Maybe achoto is unique, when the whole point is that when the Torah singles out halakha, it's to teach me about the overall rule. What was he thinking? Amalei Rabibi. No. Amalei Rabibi. Barmine, please. Don't bring me an example of that. Lav mi amrat hatam. Look at the case you're bringing. Yatsu kache berek habayit. Okay? What are you looking for over there? You're looking for something that is excluded. It's not just that it's a rule. What you're saying is it defines a case. Is that what you're saying? Okay. Very nice. I say that so too does achoto over here define a case. Achoto, you know what it tells me? It tells me Just like Akroto is an erva. Just like Akroto is an erva that is defined by the actuality of birth. It's a congenital definition. It's not something that can be turned on and off by a button. So just like Akroto is miyuchedet chi erva, a type of erva that cannot be canceled out. Ein la heter b'chaye osra. Is there a way for the sister to become a non-sister and to become muteret? There's no such thing, all right? Very nice. You said, just like Shlomim is katshe perek abay, is katshe mizbeah. Exactly. Just like Akhoto is a type of erva which is usher by definition and cannot be changed. Yes, the rule is, af kol she'en la heter b'chaye osra. I'm happy to accept that that is a rule about all of the arayot. But of course, it's making a very clear case that, for instance, an eshet ish that you could always give a get to is not included in the halakha of karet that would be unique. Isn't that so? You yourself said that Shlomim is coming to teach me which of the kodashim are included. That even though the pasuk earlier said, asher yikrav mikol zarachem l'kodashim, comes along the case of Shlomim to define which kodashim. Here too comes along the case of the Akhoto to define which arayot mikol eila. Now, do I have an intelligent question or not? I'm asking you how you know that cases that are not defined by Akhoto, such as maybe the sister of your wife, which if the wife dies during your lifetime, the sister becomes mutter, or an eshet ish, where even if she gets a gate, she becomes now mutter to you. How do I know that those cases would be chayav separately, a karet instead of a generic karet? So I said, yatsa eshet ish, she yesh leheter b'chayei ba'ala. Now that's a darn good question, and don't throw me the brighter. If anything, the brighter strengthens my question.
This is the point of this question that we have to deal with this
question. Correct. Omer of Yonah, Vitem, Ravuna, Bered, Vavishua, I will give you your answer. Omer, Kro, Kikol Ashayas, and Mikol Hatoevot, Hukshu, Kola Arayot Kulam Lachoto. You're right. We must admit we made a mistake. The basis of the Limud is not that we learned it out from Achoto on the rule of Hayotse, Menaklal, Lameid, Lola, Lameid, Alatsmoyatsaf, but rather, since the Torah goes out of its way now to compare all of the arayot to each other and put them into a general rule, mikol ha-tovevot, not similar to the case of mikol zarach and el ha-kodashim, where they're not compared in that posik to each other. So over here, hukshu kol arayot kulam la-achoto, to teach us, just like achoto chayavin alea bifnei atzma, avkol chayavin alea bifnei atzma, and that's why we don't see achoto as a unique example, or a unique example of a particular class of arayot that never have any heter.
Is this relevant to other classes also, where the structure is
within this
section?
Of course. Sure. Ulu Rabbi Diyama chayve kritut bichlal hayu velama yatsa karet v'achoto ladunu bekaret velo b'malkus. There's a whole different approach to why it mentions karet v'achoto. Namely, we just use the karet v'achoto to be mechalek. This is a very dangerous chair. To be mechalek. You know, it's Richie, he avoids this chair like a plague. He'd rather stand. He often does. Why do you think it's open? Why are these two chairs open? So we just used the pasuk to teach me that Achoto could be chayav on its own, not as part of a group, right? That's called lechalek, to separate out each and every one of these isurim. But according to Rabbi Yitzchak, the reason that Achoto is mentioned is to teach me another halakha, namely, that you should not think that wherever the Torah gives you a lav, you get malkut by definition, even if there's a chiyuv karet that's involved in it. Actually, that's the halakha. In other words, the karet is a separate issue. If the individual would get malkut, in that case, you wouldn't be chayav the karet. But according to Rabbi Yitzchak, he says the whole point is to tell me that it's karet and only karet, not malkut. So then he doesn't have an extra case to tell me lechalek. How does he know that each one of the arayot would be a separate issue. So look, I like minale. Well, that he learns me the el isha benidat tumata lo tikrav. You shall not come to a woman who is a nida. Now, last I heard, despite all of the attempts at creating a male menstrual cycle and so on to excuse all types of PMS in males. You know, Richie's always telling me it's the time of the month. You know, whenever there's a problem, it's the time of the month. You know? Despite all of those attempts, last we heard, only women can be a nida. And therefore, to stress, isha b'nidat tumata, you must admit, is rather redundant. All it needed to say is, ve'el nida b'tumata lo tikra. Therefore, it comes to tell us, the point is, the woman, lechalek al kol isha v'isha, to tell me, each one of the above women is looked at as a unique case. It's not just an Erevah. It's this Erevah. Oh, hey, that's really nice, actually, now that you mention it. So why couldn't the Rabbanan use that pasuk? Nami tepkele mel isha benidat tumata. And then they would have the case of karet ba'achoto extra. And that would sort of force them into accepting Rabbi Yitzchak's drasha that karet is never chayav malkut. So why don't they learn it from here? Says the Gemara, ain't afinami. They do, actually, now that you mention it. Well, so then what did they do with the karet ba'achoto lamayata? So what was that whole drasha we just went through hell to get through? Now it turns out, actually, we're just playing games with us. But really, we can learn it out from Isha. So what do they do with that pasuk of karet ba'achoto? Ah, that comes to teach me, lechalek alachoto v'alachot aviv v'alachot imo. I mean, you might think that, okay, it's all very nice to be mechalek between your mother and your sister. I mean, they have nothing in common other than the fact that they're the sanguinity. But what about the cases that are all achva? This arayot, three cases, they're all achva. Maybe achva is a class of arayot in which one karet would patur. You would have your sister, your father's sister, your mother's sister. I mean, it's all sisters, basically. Ah, oh, come on, says the Gemara. I mean, what does that have to do with it? What I need a special pasuk. I mean, first of all, they're shemot muchlakim. Are they not? Separate psukim. They're different isurim. The fact that you arbitrarily discern a class, I mean, it's very nice. Human beings love to put things into classes. But the fact is, the pasuk is a separate pasuk. Not to mention the fact that each one of these people is a different people. I mean, we have sometimes where it's all one category and all one individual and all one act, that then you need to know your chayav on them separately. But over here, separate class, I mean, separate Yisurim and separate people. Oh, you're right. I didn't mean that. I mean the same person who is your sister and your father's sister and your mother's sister. And that, if you get one woman like that, my goodness, you've got a real case on your hand. This family's history is not very good. I mean, obviously what happened over here is somebody went ahead, slept with his mother, then he has two daughters with his mother who are now sisters, fathers a son from one of them, that son now goes back and sleeps with the mother, who was also the sister of his father, but also the sister of the mother, who was also the sister of his mother. Both cases, right? So he's got all three cases in one. I mean, with a family like that, these things, you know, say, well, why not? All right? It's the Ozarks.
Exactly.
It's a pretty common situation. Up in the Ozarks. Yeah, there's a lot of cute songs about these kind of situations. So there, how about there, when you've got the same woman who is three separate achotes? Maybe you can sort of throw all the achotes together, no? So yeah, she's my achot, she's my father's achot, my mother's achot, and it's all one big achot, a happy family. So there, I need to know that even in the same woman, even the same element of achva, each one of them is counted separately. So lechalek al achoto shehi achot aviv v'shehi achot imo. My goodness, Rabbi Yitzchak, how does he know that? Surely he's not going to walk through the Ozarks and sing a song of Achva. I mean, he's got to have a basis to tell me the chalukah of the same person. So ha milta minale, I mean, that comes first before telling me, because that's innate in the yitzer. I mean, to tell me it comes to mean karet and not malkut, I mean, that's already stretching it a bit. So how does he know this in order for him to get to the other drasha? No, he says, I know that from the end of the pasuk. Why do you think the pasuk then, after describing the chiyuv of karet, says, ervat achoto gila? I mean, obviously, that's what we're talking about. So ervat achoto gila comes to me, and by the way, any element of achoto has to be looked at separately. So ervat achoto gila, separately from the fact that she's also achot aviv, or achot imo. Verabanan, hey, what do they do with that, actually? That ervat achoto, that's really redundant. So akoto, to save the kromai afdile, why do they need that akoto? They say that's talking about, because remember the pasuk is a very interesting pasuk. It said someone who sleeps with his sister who is bat aviv o bat imo, his mother or his father's daughter or his mother's daughter. Okay, those are half sisters. How about if it's a whole sister? How about if the sister is both your father's daughter and your mother's daughter? Okay, I mean, she's your father's daughter and your mother's daughter, I mean, she also she's even worse, right? Therefore comes along the Torah to say, I want you to know that I'm adding that case, ervata koto gila, even if she's your whole sister, to teach me, lakotoshi batavik ubatimo, to teach you, never jump to conclusions. Don't say that, well, that's obviously worse. There's no obviously worse. The Torah decides what's worse. And if, in fact, I hadn't told you this, you wouldn't be able to be onesh min adin. You couldn't come into Beit Din and say, well, this guy did something that's not written in the Holy Book, but it's clear that it must be terrible. Let's let the Torah decide what's terrible. So you can't make an onesh on an individual based on a kal v'chomer. And Rabbi Yitzchak, why doesn't he need it for that? Maybe he holds you can. Maybe indeed he holds onashim and adin. A kal v'chomer, because it's usable in other circumstances, is also usable to give an onash. Or you could simply say, v'ibay deima, could be that according to Rabbi Yitzchak, he agrees, ein onashim and adin. But the way that he knows the onash is that he learns out the onash from the isur, from the azara. And the azara says, ervat bat avicha o bat imecha, and then stretches achotcha hi to add bat avicha and bat imecha. And so he then says, he makes a hekesh, and he says, well, in the same way that the Torah stressed in the Isur, that when I say a half-sister, I'm including a whole-sister, so too in the Onesh, when I'm saying a half-sister, I'm including a whole-sister, which leaves the extra words of bat achoto gila extra to teach me the din of this chiluk of a woman who is also a sister for many different ways, leaving free akoto to teach me only karet and not malkut. QED. Not a bad, happy beginning.